listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. Good morning, I'm Mark Purcell. On the phone with me is Sean Carroll, a theoretical physicist at the California Institute of Technology and author of the book The Big Picture on the Origins of Life, Meaning, and the Universe Itself. It has condensed 1,000 years of science into one very readable and entertaining book. Sean, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me on.
It's a wonderful read, but boy, I tell you, Sean, you have packed a lot into the big picture here. Why did you decide to do this project and condense 1,000 years of science into the pages of a book?
Well, you know, a lot of what scientists do, the scientists like myself, a theoretical physicist, we make progress by hyper-specializing, right? By looking at a small number of problems really, really, really super carefully. And then when we go out to share our excitement with the world to tell people about it, we tell them about what we have learned in our very, very specific field. But if you're not an academic hyper-specialist, you might care about how it all fits together, what it means for your life, not just the latest wrinkle in the discovery of the Higgs boson. So here I try to give an overview. Obviously, it can't possibly be very detailed, but trying to sketch out how all these different parts of science and philosophy kind of fit together to describe the world.
So you break it down into different sections. You have cosmos to begin with, then you go on to understanding, to essence, complexity, thinking, and then caring, and end it all up with the equation underlying you and me. Thank you for all that math there at the end, Sean. I appreciate that. But
I know that's what you wanted, yes.
Yes, indeed. Well, that did help a lot to some degree. But I was wondering why you decided to break it down into these six sections. I mean, you do have intent for each of them, so why don't we walk through them? Because there's so much in the book, I can't, you know, I can only touch on some of the highlights, but let's touch on the sections, beginning with cosmos and looking at the wider universe, of which we are a very, very, very tiny part.
That's right. So, I mean, I opened the book because I think, you know, I wanted to give some knowledge right off the bat, even if it's kind of ancient knowledge in some sense by now, but just a feeling of how our understanding of the universe has really dramatically shifted over the years. So just the idea that the universe goes by itself, you know, the universe doesn't need anything to keep it going. This sort of crept up on us, this knowledge, and physicists talk about it as conservation of momentum. The world just moves and it sort of obeys laws as it does so. And so that's the first part. And then we take a little bit of a step back and ask ourselves, how do we come up with these theories? How do we decide what is the best way of thinking about the world? And then we can get into the details. Then we can sort of say, okay, so what have we learned? What is the universe made of? What are the particles and forces that make it up? How do they fit together to make things? So then it's a fairly straightforward organization where you start with the tiniest pieces, you know, the atoms and the forces that make up you and me. Then we fit them together. So in complexity, we say, well, why in the world would the motion of these atoms come to give rise to life and thinking and so forth? Then in the next section, we really tackle what it means to think, to be conscious, how this wonderful phenomenon of self-awareness and consciousness is completely compatible with physics governing the world at the deepest level. And then we take another step back and say, all right, so what does it all mean? Why should it matter to us? What is our purpose here? And that's where it comes down to what individual human beings actually care about.
So most of the book is set in what you call, surrounding what you call poetic naturalism. Explain what poetic naturalism is.
Naturalism is really the theme of the book. Naturalism is just the idea that there is only one world, the natural world, the world in the broadest sense. There's not separate realms of spirits or the supernatural. And poetic naturalism is just that there are many ways of talking about that world. The same underlying stuff, but we use different vocabularies to describe it, whether it's the vocabulary of physics and particles, or the vocabulary of biology and cells and organisms, or the vocabulary of, you know, people and institutions, and ultimately all the way to judging the world. What is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is meaningful? All these different ways of talking, you can talk about them separately. You don't need to know particle physics to be a biologist or understand right from wrong, but they have to fit together. They have to be compatible with each other.
I'm speaking with Sean Carroll, author of The Big Picture on the Origins of Life, Meaning, and the Universe Itself. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And in looking at all this, you know, you're a theoretical physicist, but you cover a lot of ground here. What kind of research did you, even as a scientist, have to do to put together the big picture?
Yeah, there's no question that there's a lot in the book that I'm talking about which I'm not personally an expert. I mean, I try not to hide that. In fact, one of the most fun parts of writing the book for me was learning about biochemistry, you know, like how the ATP molecules help power what the proteins do and how our muscles contract and so forth. But, you know, I'm not coming to that because I think that as a physicist I have something to teach biologists or neuroscientists or philosophers about their jobs. It's rather that I think that we should be talking to each other. I think that there's nobody in the world who is an expert on all of these things that I'm talking about in this book, and yet they are related to each other at an intimate level. So let's start this conversation, or keep it going anyway, talking between different people who do have different specialties, because ultimately it's our universe. We all have a stake in how the universe works, and we're all curious about understanding it.
I have a bad habit of dog-earing the bottom of pages when I have something on the page I want to talk about, and most of the big picture, your book, Sean, is dog-eared at the bottom.
I mean, buy more copies, what can I tell you?
Yeah. Indeed. But there are all sorts of things, you know, some stuff that I was familiar with and other stuff that was totally new to me, and including when you get into understanding in the chapter about is it okay to doubt everything, you talk about Last Thursday-ism, the idea that the entire universe was created intact just last Thursday. Talk about that.
Yep. Well, no one believes that's true, so don't be afraid. But it's a thought experiment to make you ask, you know, how do you know that it's not true? Like, what is the evidence that you have? And in some sense, the answer is you don't have evidence that last Thursday-ism isn't true, because by definition, the theory says that the universe was created last Thursday looking exactly like it would look like if it had been existing for billions of years. So you can say, well, but I have memories and I have photographs and artifacts from the long ago, and, well, all those memories and photographs were created last Thursday. How do you know that's not true? And so I try to make the case that it is nevertheless okay to discard last Thursdayism as a theory of the world, even though we can't disprove it based on evidence. It's also not a sort of productive way of thinking about the world, right? It's a skeptical scenario that doesn't lead us to any insights about how things actually work. So you have to admit that it's there. You can't disprove it with any metaphysical certainty, but you don't need to give it the time of day either.
We'll go on to quantum theory, and I have to praise your explanations when it comes to quantum mechanics. That's such a difficult thing to explain, and I found it the easiest to understand of any explanation of quantum physics that I had been involved in before. And I guess this was this the easiest part for you as a theoretical physicist to write, or did it have its own challenges for you?
Well, you know, understanding and explaining quantum mechanics is never easy. It is something that I personally have really tried to understand and focus on for a long time. So, you know, I kind of have a particular viewpoint on how best to do this, but I'm one of the first to admit that quantum mechanics is a difficult nut to wrap our heads around. So I hope, like you just said, that people do get something out of it. I really think that thinking about quantum mechanics, understanding quantum mechanics, is something we could do a lot better at in terms of popularizing and understanding science.
The Big Picture on the Origins of Life, Meaning in the Universe Itself, Sean Carroll, condensing 1,000 years of scientific, mathematical, and philosophical discovery into a very readable book, available where books are sold. Details at our website, wvxu.org. And just to share with listeners about some of the explanations, you explain entropy with a cup of coffee, mixing cream into coffee. And I thought that was, I loved the various illustrations throughout the book that helped me understand that concept.
Right. What I don't tell you is that the photograph that I took myself is actually not cream and coffee. It's cream liqueur and coffee liqueur, because the cream and coffee mix together too quickly. But
oh, the secret's out now, Sean.
I know, exactly. You know, don't let anyone know. That's between you and me.
But okay.
It's a crucially important feature of the world that actually scientists haven't completely grappled with yet, which is that On the one hand, as time goes by, entropy increases, which is a fancy way of saying the universe becomes more disorderly, more disorganized over time. And yet, at the same time, things like human beings come into existence in the course of the universe's evolution. So how in the world does something so complicated and intricate arise out of increasing entropy? And the answer is that there's a difference between complexity and entropy. It's illustrated by the cup of coffee. As you mix that cream into the coffee, it's during the mixing process that you first see complexity. You see the tendrils of cream and coffee mixing into each other. When you're all done, everything is mushed together and it's simple. When you started, everything was separate and it was simple. It's the process of going from one to the other that creates this complexity. And the universe is the same way. You and I are the side effect of increasing entropy in the universe, just like the tendrils in the cup of coffee.
You tie so much together here, and as I told you, I can't remember if I already told you during this interview or not, but you really made my head explode considering all the different facets that you look at in this book. What are you hoping someone who takes the time to read and understand the big picture here will walk away with?
Well, you know, my actual hope is that they keep thinking about it. You know, I know that the idea of the book, the scope of it, certainly the title, can come across as hilariously overly ambitious and immodest. But in some sense, it's actually the ambitions are pretty darn modest, because the subtitle is On the Origins of Life, Meaning, and the Universe Itself. But I'll give away right now, I don't tell you what the origin of the universe was, or what the origin of life was, or what the meaning of life is. I sketch out a way to think about it, because that's what poetic naturalism gives you. So I'm really not saying that I know the meaning of life or how life began or anything like that. I'm saying here's a way of thinking about it that fits together with what we've learned through science. So let's think about it together.
As you move forward, I mean, it seems between your previous book, The Particle at the End of the Universe, and now here, The Big Picture, you've covered a lot of ground. What are you working for when it comes to a book for the future? Because I don't know where you can go from here, Sean. You got the universe and everything here.
I know. It's a good thing, because as any book author will tell you, there are many times you get asked a question and you want to say the answer, you know, read my book, it's in there. Yeah. So now, like, almost every question I could be asked, I can just say, read my book, there it is. But, you know, it's not my day job writing books. I'm a scientist, a physicist at Caltech. So right now I'm very happily just doing my physics research and not writing another book. I can imagine someday, you know, the one thing I would like to explain really well is quantum field theory, which I talk about in the book, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's necessarily a whirlwind tour, and I really do think that this idea of quantum field theory is absolutely central to modern physics, but not something we talk about in a popular context very often.
Well, we often ask authors who we talk to here on the Book Club at 91.7 what they are reading. I'm wondering, Sean Carroll, what are you reading right now?
You know, there's a very fun science fiction novel that just came out of China a little while ago called The Three-Body Problem by Qixin Liu. And I just got into it. You know, I read sort of some science fiction, but I'm not an aficionado or anything like that. But it's this wonderful, incredibly imaginative story of, you know, how really aliens have been altering what physicists here on Earth measure to be the laws of physics and are now communicating with us by varying the laws of physics. And it's a fun thing for a physicist to read.
That sounds like a lot of fun. The title again and the author?
It's called The Three-Body Problem. The author, I say Qixin Liu, which is Cixin Liu.
Well, Sean, thank you for your book and that recommendation, too. Appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure.
Sean Carroll, his book is The Big Picture, On the Origins of Life, Meaning, and the Universe Itself. You can learn more about it at wvxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.